Joining you on the line is Bagat leader Harun Ori. Harun, a very good evening to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Hi, good evening, Bungile. Thank you so much for granting us this opportunity on your show.
Absolutely fantastic. Yes, please continue.
Yeah, I think what we need to understand firstly, what is really happening in the country, is something that we as Bagat, you know, has warned the government about. We see escalating uprising in our communities. However, the sad part of this whole thing is that now the innocent that is rising up in the communities, and our communities are becoming the targets of the police and not the real culprits as should be. Then that's the unfortunate part. However, you know, there is no other alternative for the people any longer in this country. There is no other way out. I think our people have made use of every resources possible. They've went through every channel that they were asked to go through in terms of neighborhood watches, street committees, joining the police force. The list carries on. And I think people are now by the crossroads where they say, you know, we've been everywhere, we've knocked on every door, and virtually nobody is helping us at this present moment in time.
And that's exactly where I wanted to start off, in that, you know, with the recent shutdowns of townships on the Cape Flats, I mean, it was a sign that communities have just had enough of gang violence. But it just seems that at times they're helpless and they feel like their hands are tied. Where do they go from here?
You know, we've seen the spiral and domino effect from what is happening, and the unfortunate situation. It costed people to be arrested before the police minister actually started to implement the new gang unit, which we don't want to be negative. We want to be hopeful, and we want people to be hopeful that this is going to work. The reality is, how many gang units were there? How many other structures were there that came from the ministers and the previous ministers' offices to tackle crime in our country? And we ask ourselves, where are those structures today, and why have they been abandoned, or they're not in operation any longer? And why is this a reoccurrence of gang units and operations being reinvented, and the wheel is being reinvented all the time? And we believe as Bagat, as a movement, that this is... It's done with intent to derail the program of the people, especially with the shutdown that we want to see happening in the country, in all good faith, and in all to keep it within the confines of the law. We're saying that, yes, it can work, it must work, and it's only the people on the ground that is going to bring a solution to the problem.
And talking about people on the ground, I mean, would you say gang violence has increased or decreased since 1996 when Bagat was formed? Or maybe as time went on with Bagat experiencing its problems, then it's only then we saw the increase? What's your view on that?
I think with the inception of Bagat in the late 1996, 1995, up until 1999, government statistics has shown a drop in crime up until early 2000. This is not our statistics. This is statistics done by government themselves and by institutions, that there was a decrease in crime. There was a decrease in everything that we see today in terms of social ills that we find today. After that, when the state was instructed to make an example of certain Bagat members and there was a big arrest and all these type of things happened, we found there was an escalation again. And even if we go back in 2000, that is exactly when the drug as we know it today, as stick, was introduced in our communities. And people, you know, I hate to think that people have a loss of memory, but this is the true reality that we see. They silenced us then by trying to incarcerate our members and prosecuting our members, to silence us on making the people and community aware of the reality of the consequences and the detriment of gangsterism and drugs as we see today. That is who we are. We will continue to put pressure on the system. And like I think I've heard you earlier on, that there needs to be an independent body overseeing this. There needs to be people from the community overseeing this, because there is far too much corruption within the system. There is no faith in the system any longer. As much as people out there on social media and wherever you find, they will ask us to reaffirm our commitment and reaffirm that people must put their trust back into the ANC and the powers that be, and including all political parties. That I don't think is going to happen very soon. People have lost complete faith in every body that you can find that there was hope in previously. There's no more that trust any longer.
POGAD, which is People Against Gang Terrorism and Drugs, are back in the news, as you've heard many a times during the course of the show, as this is after DA Bonte Yeovil councillor Angus McKenzie invited the group into the township to quell the spate of gang violence. POGAD are well known on the Cape Flats for their often violent struggle against gangs and drug dealers. In recent months, communities of Kensington, Bishop Lavis and Bonte Yeovil, amongst others, have embarked on shutdowns of their communities to highlight the violent stranglehold gangs have in their communities. POGAD leader Haron Ori joins us in conversation on this matter. Feel free to also share your views on the matter. We will be reading some of your SMSs to you, Haron. And just bring it back, you mentioned that some members were incarcerated. Are they still in incarceration?
Today, yes, we still have 8 members that is serving life sentences. And I want to bring some comparison to that, Abungile. Now, people need to understand what is happening in the system today. We find that over 3,000 guns just over a year ago was dispatched into our communities. And it is confirmed that those guns came directly from the South African police force. There's no doubt about it. It's in the public space. We're saying the very individuals that are responsible for dispatching those arms in the community are still walking free today. How is that possible? How is it possible that people that is responsible for the destruction that we see and the innocent killings of our children and our mothers and our fathers out there, they're roaming the streets? And another comparison I want to make, I mean, and everybody has seen this new that's playing in the cinemas now, the Alan Pakis movie. And, you know, I want to make this comparison, you know, when the reality of the movie is it's in the movie. And at that particular time when we followed the case, the judge definitely said that he understands where she came from. And he gave her a lighter sentence because he understood the hurt that the son has caused to her. We're saying today to this community, our people that are sitting in prison, that they were accused of eradicating the drug dealers and gangsters that is killing our societies today, they were given up to 11 life sentences in prison for protecting our children. And we say today 99.9% of those cases, there was no facts brought to court because it was a political instruction against our people at a particular time in this country. And that was very sad for us because, you know, when you go to court, you hope that you are innocent until proven guilty. It was completely the opposite. We were found guilty by the media and print media before we even went to court. And today, when a gangster or a drug dealer appears in court, you know, we tend, and people tend to use the terminology, an alleged drug dealer or an alleged gangster. And there are many of them, and I don't like to use their names on social on talk shows or anything because we shouldn't give them that. But they are called and alleged, and yet we know they are convicted felonies, many of them. And there's a particular case now in the Cape High Court of a particular well-known drug dealer in Mitchell's Plain. There's some discrepancy found in his process of arrest. You know, so we're asking, where is the true justice for our people on the streets? We're asking these questions, and you know, the buck has been passed from South African police to the justice system. From the justice system, they pass the buck over to correctional services. We're saying that all three of those systems, they operate under one system. And, you know, the time for them to pass the buck all the time, I think people should really see things as it is today, because we've presented over the years on your radio shows and many others many proofs of what is happening in society today.
Let's ask the question then, Harun, that, I mean, first of all, you've got the invite from the DA Bontevil councillor Angus McKenzie. Are you accepting the invite? And also, we ask you the question that we've been asking the listeners. Do you believe that PAGID is the best organization to quell the spate of gang violence in our communities?
I think, Abungile, I think it is time that we tell the people the reality what is happening out there. We as a PAGID movement has met for a very long time. We've met with government officials on both sides, DA, local government and national government. We've met with other political parties in this country. We as a movement has always maintained that we will extend our hand to anybody and everybody that wants to make a change in terms of gangsterism and drugs and the social ills that we find ourselves in today. If, and we welcome the welcome by the ward councillor, Mr. McKenzie, for welcoming us into Bontevil. We've met with other officials before, you know, and we've asked them to make this public, but for some reason they haven't done that. And therefore we say we welcome the welcome of Mr. McKenzie, because he has taken a stand as an individual, whether he's taking a stand as a politician in the community, as the ward councillor per se under his banner of the Democratic Alliance. To us, we're saying we will never align ourselves to any political party policies. We're saying we will align ourselves to anybody and any organization. We've met with people from the trade unions, NUMSA, KUSATU, these people. They are willing to work with us. We are saying to them, and we're saying to national government and local government, that we extend our hand and we want to work with them. You had a program, I think, sometime in last week on your radio with Mr. Vieri. We're saying that we extend our hand to him. We want to work with him. And people shouldn't say that PAGID is anti-police. PAGID is this. We as PAGID as a movement, and we reaffirm that today, that we will work with people that is serious about eradicating gangsterism and drugs in our societies.
And talking to that, I mean, here's the SMS, and you mentioned some of the things that people are alleging. Shengu says on the SMS line, while PAGID could be effective in fighting the gangsters, their presence in the streets will feed into vigilantism. This concept or this vigilantism, it's something that you have been largely associated with in the past. Could this still be a problem in the future of the organization, or are these just things of the past?
I think, you know, Abungile, this phenomena of a vigilante group, we're asking the community out there, you know, we are here now. We as PAGID want to make a change, and we are asking you to be part of that change. We're saying that when a group of gangsters terrorize our community, they are never called terrorists or vigilantes. We are saying when a policeman or a general in the police force or the police commissioner or even the police minister or the wife of the crime intelligence at a particular time was involved in the drug trade, nobody ever said to them that they are terrorists or they are vigilantes. And this thing, you know, it is saddened to see that when people want to make a change, we are branded with this. We are saying we will work within the confines of the law. We are saying we are willing, and we've always been willing to work in the confines of the law. But when it comes to defending our right as per constitution of this country, is that going to be regarded as vigilantism or terrorism? That's the question that needs to be answered. And we believe that every citizen in this country has the right to defend him or herself. But only when it knocks on our doors and our children at home get raped or prostituted, then we want to apply the law and say that we have the right to apply the law as per constitution, to say that we have the right to defend ourselves as citizens of South Africa. We're saying as an organization, as a movement, we have that right to defend the innocent people out there that cannot defend themselves. If people want to term that as vigilantism or terrorism, then they should ask the drug dealer and the gangster And they should pose the very same question to them and ask, how are we going to stop this problem? Because surely we've seen over the years that the police and South African police wasn't able or is not capable of doing it at this present moment in time.
And let's talk about the plan of action here, because I think it would be a fair assessment to say that, you know, gangs have been around since most of our townships were established back in the apartheid eras, and we just can't seem to get rid of them. So if you were to come into the community, I'm sure, or rather, if when you come into the community, I'd imagine you are the organization that is going to be leading the people in that community. What do you do? How do you how do you get the people to follow you? What's the process there? Is it a question of setting up an office somewhere or having a house where people know that's where they can go to report certain matters? Walk us through the process.
I think firstly what people we need to understand is that anybody and any individual that is opposed to gangsterism and drugs automatically becomes an individual who is against gangsterism and drugs. We're saying that we need to form a united front from all aspects and all spheres of life, whether it is from our unions, whether it is from the working class people up to the business class people. We're saying that we need to form a united front and show that united front collectively in our dissatisfaction. That is what is happening in the country, where gangsters and drug dealers are terrorizing the community. We're saying that people need to come back to a God-conscious society, that we need to fear our creator other than what we are fearing the drug dealer or the gangster today, because people are living in a grip of fear. So we're saying that that should happen. And we need to mobilize people in every community under one banner, under one goal, one common goal and common objective, and that is to eradicate our societies of gangsterism and drugs. Because for too long, people have tolerated this, and this is why we are sitting in this problem that we have today, because people have allowed the escalation of drugs and gangsterism to overtake our streets, our communities, and even as far as within government. And we cannot have our leaders in society, be it political leaders or our religious leaders, having meetings with gangsters and with drug dealers to bring about peace. That issue and that process of peace talks can never happen until there is justice. And peace can only prevail once justice prevails in our communities. For we have seen the domino effect in areas in Cape Town like Lavender Hill, Hanover Park, where peace talks were held by religious leaders. Today, those very religious leaders has not brought any peace to our communities, because we've seen shooting every day in those very areas. So those peace talks has gone in vain, and we say that should stop immediate with immediate effect. And we believe that departments in government are paying people to have peace talks with gangsters and with drug dealers. We have proof to say that religious leaders are having peace talks with gangsters and drug dealers. So we're asking, how are we going to bring that change if we are sitting around one table and drinking coffee with the enemy of the people? And
Haroon, what's your plan then? So others are saying, let us negotiate with the gangsters. So if Pagad comes in, what are you going to do differently? So instead of sitting on the table, what do you do?
We're saying, firstly, if a drug dealer or a gangster wants to repent, that's his prerogative, and we should give him that right. And there's a process for that, firstly. Secondly, is we're not saying there's no room for them in society. We're saying we cannot give a drug dealer or a gangster recognition in our communities. The moment we have negotiations with any drug dealer or any gangster in this country, we're giving them recognition, and we will find what we find in Latin America and Brazil and these places, where they are given room to exist in our communities. They are given space to operate their drug trade and their gangster trade, and it will become a mafia on its own. As we've seen in this country, in the killings in this country, where known the underworld is trying to operate as a mafia in this country. And we need to get away from that. And, you know, I know a lot of our kids are attending nightclubs and these type of things, but those nightclubs that we see today are all controlled by drug dealers and gangsters. All of them. They can. There's not one nightclub that can innocently come forth and say, you know what, I'm not associated to any drug trade or any gangster trade or any underworld trade. They are all connected to one another. And we don't want to give names on the radio. But if it needs be and people want the proof, we'll put it on the table. So, you know, all these things need to stop. And that starts with us. It starts with us, our association with people. And we need to educate people, you know. This is why we are there. We meet with various community leaders and groups of people to educate them in terms of how to deal with these issues. You cannot have a neighbor that is a hardcore drug dealer, but every morning you stand and have a conversation or a cup of coffee with him, and you greet him and you say, you know what, this is a good guy. I grew up with him for 20 years. He's destroying the community. He's killing our children. There's no good in this individual. There can never be good in this individual because his intent is evil. His intent is to destroy society and its moral fibers. So those are the things that we need to work on. But we're saying, and we're making it very, very, very clear, there can never be negotiations between the citizens, innocent citizens of this country, or officials in this country and drug dealers and gangsters. Mm. That is the starting point, and we need to start there.
So if I understand you correctly, so what you're saying is, you know, there can't be any negotiations, but if someone wants to repent, it's open there. There's a process that they can follow, and they're more than welcome to do so. And then you are saying after that, we need to educate the communities. Please, you can correct me if I'm missing something, is that there's a need to educate. So I'm very interested. Maybe you have mentioned it and I've missed it, but what happens when you have a gangster that doesn't want to repent and is not listening to the education perhaps that you're putting out there to the community? Is it a question of then that's when you start working with police officers where you feed them the information, or do you take matters into your own hands? If so, how?
I think we've seen the effect of this. We've trialed it, we've edited it, and we've came to a point where it works in society. I haven't seen a drug dealer or a gangster when communities stand up together and they rally against him to stop his drug trade or his whatever he's busy with. I haven't seen any resistance yet in this country. We have only seen resistance when people do not have proper leadership in place in communities. And we urge this community, all these communities that are rising up, to create a total shutdown in this country. When you choose leadership to lead you to the streets and to lead you to eliminate the drug trade or the gangsterism that we find in the innocent killings, leadership in that position should be firm. Because if we don't have that, the opposition, the drug dealer and the gangster will know that you are a weak person. We've seen leaders in this community that were friends with drug dealers and they became leaders of organizations that was rallying against drug dealers. We've seen family members becoming leaders of organizations or churches and mosques in this country, but their family or their friends were directly linked to the drug trade or the gangsters and gangsterism that we see today. So that issue needs to be addressed. So once again, we haven't seen any drug dealer or gangster resisting against Paget or the community at large when they rise up and they take to the streets. We haven't seen it yet. It's yet to be seen. So we've trialed it. It worked. But there needs to be firmness. He needs to be made understood. There's no room to move in this country.
And just,
there's no choice for him to stop.
And just to understand for the purposes of all of our listeners that when you talk about the community standing up against a gangster, that would be a community gathering and maybe going to that gangster's house and telling him that we are heartful of this matter, of this now. Is that the scenario?
This is the call that we're getting from communities. They want to go to the streets, but we're saying there are different approaches for different type of people, different types of crimes. We are saying, yes, we need to go to the drug dealers if needs be. If the police is not going to do their work and we gave them a mandate and they do not act on that mandate to stop and eradicate our communities and remove the drug dealers or arrest them, then the owners will then automatically allow communities to take to the streets, march to the drug dealers, give him a mandate and tell him and force him to stop. We can never have a street of 50 homes And two of those homes are drug dealers, and the 48 people are unable to remove him or ask him to stop his drug trade. It doesn't make sense to the logic mind. So we're saying that if that is the reality, then the issue of gangsterism and drugs can be resolved in no time, only if the police is effective as they should be.
But just to put it on record, Haroon, that, you know, this concept of vigilantism has never been something that Paget was behind. It is just something that's been coined by society, and it's something that Paget will never, ever venture into.
We maintain that we have never started any vigilante group. We were never part of a vigilante group. This is what media and people and politicians has rallied against us to demonize us, to silence us. But we say, you know, this will never stop. They will continue doing that. We're saying to the community and the country at large that is listening today, we're saying, listen to us, meet us and see what we're about and make a decision based on what you see in front of you, not based on what we hear on social media and in our print media. We say, let's become proactive within this program. It doesn't mean you must be part or have a membership per se of Paget to be part of the Paget movement. We're saying we want to mobilize our communities. We want to educate the communities. We want to tell them of what is the realities and how deep this drug trade is, and educate them as to how we're going to take this process forward. And then within the confines of the law, see how we can then look at programs of taking the people to the streets if needs be, if government is not effective as we're going to ask them to be.
If you're just joining the conversation, thank you so much for being part of Evening Talk. This evening, we're talking to Paget, People Against Gangsterism and Drugs, who have been invited by DA Bontegierville Councillor Angus McKenzie to come into the township to quell the spate of gang violence. And so Paget leader Haroon Ory joins us on the line for this discussion as we continue talking about Paget. And we want to find out from you, what's your view? Do you believe that Paget is, in fact, the best group to be spearheading this campaign in terms of communities standing up against those that are terrorizing our communities? 0214460567, 36 minutes past 10. You are not lost. We're listening to you. We want to hear what your views are. Feel free to talk to us about whatever it is that you want to talk to us about. Haroon, just on this matter, as we are just tying up the interview, if we look at some of the issues that we have in our communities, we're saying, first of all, we know who the drug dealers are. We know some of the corrupt officers that are involved in these issues, and we want to do something about it. I really want to get to the point where you guys are going to be working with police, with this special unit, perhaps. Is there a possibility of that? Because I imagine that there are some people that are going to fight you on this. There may be one or two, and they need to be incarcerated. At what point do you involve the new specialized unit?
It depends, Bungile, on what level do they want to engage us on. We are welcome to engage on them, and I strongly feel that community should ask for an independent body to oversee the structure. If that is not going to happen, we're going to find further corruption, and it's only going to bring a temporary solution to the problem. We're not looking for a temporary solution. We've seen temporary solutions, and the temporary solutions that we find is the officials in charge of many areas, and we can use, it's for argument's sake, the area in Mitchell's Plain. They would take the main problem guys out of that area and put them in another area. It would appear as if the area is quiet, but we'll find a flare up in another area. This is what is happening in our communities. And we're saying with the new unit that comes out, by the grace of the Almighty, we are asking them, let's have an independent body. We as Paget are willing to work with them. We as Paget are willing to be part of this, and we want to be part of this, to work within the framework of the law of this country. But if they don't give us that opportunity, if they don't allow us to be part of that opportunity, which, like you have rightfully probably said, we will find opposition and people will say, well, but where do Paget fit in all this? And how does Paget fit? The fact that we are having this conversation we as Baggett feel that we can make a contribution in society. Our history for the last 25 years has spoken what is happening in this country. What we have said 25 years ago, that our children on the age of 6, 7, 5 years old will be using drugs, they will be prostituting, they will be the hitmen of the... This is the reality that we see today. We've said this 25 years ago, and people said that we are living in a bubble and that we are imagining these things. Today is a reality. We once again saying 25 years later, if our communities are not going to take charge of this problem and oversee any group or any unit that comes in our community, if they're not going to oversee that, we're going to find corruption within it. We need independent people to oversee this. And if that is not going to happen, we're probably going to run into elections next year, and this is probably why we're going to see this gang unit. Let's hope that is not the case. We want to see a complete eradication. We don't want to see a temporary solution to the problem. When we say arrests must be made, when we say drug dealers must be arrested, we are saying that these drug dealers and gangsters must be prosecuted and they must be sent to prison for life. We're not saying that they must be sent to prison for 2 or 3 years. We're saying that they should get life imprisonment, because what they are doing, it is murder at first degree. There's no other explanation for this. The moment they sell any drug to our children, they are murdering them. It is the same as taking a firearm and shooting our children through the head. There's no difference when you give when you give drugs to our kids or when you give a firearm. It is the same thing. There's no difference. That is the damage that it does in our societies today.
Arun, I'll tell you what, we read the SMSs as they come, but I think you've already addressed this issue. But if you still want to have comments on this, feel free to do so. An SMS coming in from Anonymous saying that these are the same people that murdered people in the late 90s and threatened people and their families for doing their jobs. Pagat is a group of vigilantes and murderers. Look, we read it like it is, but I do believe you've already given a statement on this. But if you still want to have some more comments, feel free to do so.
Sure, no problem. I think, you know, maybe the listener maybe just tuned in a bit late. You know, this phenomena of Paget being a vigilante group, yes, we've seen video footages. That is the masses of people that came to the streets at that particular time. What we've seen then was the reality of the problem at that particular time. And if you ask government officials today, why is it that when a drug dealer came to court, he walked free, but when a Paget member came to court, he was convicted without evidence? We're saying and we maintain today, our brothers that are in prison, that are still there today, they are incarcerated and they've been incarcerated with fabricated evidence. We've tried it, we've challenged it, we've went to every court in this country. Nobody wants to listen to them. Today we are fighting their parole issues. We're still having a problem with the system because they are due for parole and the system just refuses to release them on parole. You know, so it's an ongoing fight. And to us as a movement, we find that this is a decision taken by the system. We are asking the powers that be today that they should relook at this perception that they have about us. And we're asking your listeners to relook at the perception that they have. Meet with us, sit with us, and see what we're about. Media has always taken things out of proportion. And they've always blown things to an extent where people will automatically have a perception. We've maintained those years that we were trialed and we were convicted by the media, because that is what happened. Before you could go to court, your name was in the papers, you were found guilty, you were convicted by the media, and by the time your case went to court, there was already a perception there. So this is what happened during the period when people were arrested and when Paget was at its high in this country. We feel that can happen again, in the sense of people coming together, but people need to understand what we're about. We can reach that state where we can have the masses on the street with a better understanding. There is no need, and I will reiterate, there is no need to do anything illegal in this country if the government does what they need to do. And if they don't do what they need to do, we want to reiterate that it is our constitutional right, as per constitution of this country, to defend ourselves against the innocent killings that we see today. We can't expect a mother that is being robbed at gunpoint by a 15-year-old or a 12-year-old to stand there and allow herself to get robbed. We've seen the innocent killings in Cape Town, in Lotus River on Saturday morning, early hours of Monday morning. A gentleman was asleep, house was broken into, he was stabbed, he was shot to death. For what? They robbed his house, they took his TV. I mean, we're saying, does this man of 60 years old, does he not have a right to defend himself? And when he defends himself, are we going to regard that as vigilantism? We need to ask this question to the people out there as well. I mean, yourself, Abungile, if you get in your car this evening, God forbid anything should happen to you on the road, you get hijacked, and you see the opportunity to defend. Are you going to take the opportunity to defend? Or are you going to take the opportunity to allow yourself to be the victim of crime in this country? We have that choice.
We really do have that choice. And I think, Harun, we've gone through the discussion, and my reservations, it's not even a fear. My reservations is that whenever a community mobilizes and, you know, they want to, drive out a certain gangster or someone, it does tend to happen that at times that there are allegations made that are not indeed true. And I worry that, and I know what you've said about the new task force that has been put in place, that you will work with them if they want to work with you. But I do worry that if we are, as an organization or a people, we come up with our own information, who verifies this information and who says this is in fact legit information? That's where my concern is that there is always that possibility that we, as a community, we could target someone based on wrong information. So are there checks and balances in place to ensure that the information that we act upon is in fact legit?
Yes. And therefore, we're saying that there needs to be an independent. You know, the only person that would give you the accurate information are the people living in our communities. The only person that can truly identify, and obviously there should be the process of surveillance. There should be the process of intelligence. We need to do operations as to, we need to monitor the individual. You know, and government can never say they don't have that resources. I, at a particular time in a movement, we found that government spent so much money only on intelligence within PAGET to monitor us as individuals. They used to send vehicles 24/7 to monitor our movements. We saying, where are those resources to monitor the drug dealers and the gangsters in this country? Secondly, is most of the time when communities stand up and we find that there is disruption, that very disruption is caused either by the police themselves, or it is caused by crime intelligence or agents of the police. We find, and I don't want to mention names, and the names on the tip of my tongue, and I don't want to say this, but we had big government officials going on national TV saying that they are proud that they've infiltrated PAGET and they are the cause that PAGET doesn't exist, or in their mind, PAGET doesn't exist. We're saying to them, and they know who they are, we're saying to them, when they thought they could create corruption in the PAGET movement, which they have done in the past, when PAGET has a peaceful march, they would send people in to create violence within that march. They will send people in with their faces covered and they will say, this is PAGET. This is what we've seen over the years, and this is how the people operate in this country. When they see people rising up, they create instability. And we use Bonteville for a very clear example. Those people were peaceful marchers. They stood up. They were within their rights. They were still shot at and they were still arrested. We're saying, where's the justice in this country for people that wants to have and live in peace and harmony in our country?
I must apologize, Harun, that because we are running out of time, but I do have one question that I want to ask you, and maybe we can be short about this. And I've been listening to you, and you have pointed to certain factors that has led to PAGET being where it is today. Is there any responsibility that PAGET is taking to also say that we are here because also there was maybe some, with lack of better words, wrongdoings on our side? Is there any responsibility that PAGET is taking?
PAGET as a movement has always maintained, and I don't want to make it a short, short answer, but I think in a nutshell, we have always been accused of, or members has been accused of wrongdoings in this country. We're saying if people take the law in their hands, and it doesn't mean that the organization is responsible for this. We're saying in like manner, when ministers was convicted in this country of being part of the drug trade, do we blame the whole ANC body for that corruption? We've seen it with the firearms that was dispatched in our community. Do we say the whole police force is corrupted, or do we say there are individuals that were sent in to create that corruption and give the perception about PAGET?
Listen, thank you.
I hope I've answered the question.
To some extent. Thank you so much, Harun, for joining us on the show and your patience. Thank you so much. A very good evening further.
You too. Thank you so much. And we pray and we ask the Almighty God to protect our children and our mothers and fathers that are suffering in the country. And we ask of this community that give us a chance and listen to us and hear what we have to say and our contribution that we can make in eradicating our communities of gangsterism and drugs. And we greet you a very good evening to you as well.
Thank you so much. That is Harun Ori, PAGET leader.